my Bible. This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book so I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I just want to say this before we get started. We still need help in our youth ministry, So if you are interested in helping us in our youth ministry, we would truly, truly appreciate it. Amen. Right now, most of our leaders are teaching there, and you know, I would like for them to be able to sit in the sanctuary at some point in time. Amen. So if you want to help us in our youth ministry, we would truly appreciate it. Open. Are you in Luke? Did I tell you where to go? Oh, okay. Well, okay. Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And when you get there, say amen. Terrell be like, no, you ain't told us nothing. Amen. Luke chapter 11. When you get there, say amen. Luke chapter 11. Are y'all there yet? The Bible says in Luke 11, verse number 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass, as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased praying, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And Jesus said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day, give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And in Matthew chapter 6, the same prayer is there. And then Jesus says, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Over the past several weeks, our focus has been on Matthew chapter 7. And in Matthew chapter 7, you know, Jesus was teaching his disciples and a multitude of people on the side of a mountain known to many of us is the Sermon on the Mount, okay? And as he was teaching them on the mountain, he left them three things to do, okay? He told them three things to do to be able to experience kingdom living here in this earth, okay? He told them three things to do. He told them to ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. And he told them to knock, and it shall be open unto you. Okay? And basically, if it's open unto you, he's telling us if it's open, we need to enter in that which is open. Are y'all still with me? Okay? He said, ask, seek, and knock. In other words, if I knock, then I will be able to enter in because the door will be open for me. Are y'all still with me? Amen. And in the same series of scripture, okay, you know, Jesus was not just saying, ask anyone. You know, he didn't say, ask your best friend, okay? He didn't say, seek out your best friend, you know? He didn't say, enter into your best friend. He's talking about God, okay? He's talking about, we found out last few weeks, he's talking about ask God, okay? Ask God, seek God, and enter into God's presence by knocking. And we're not talking about knocking on a door. He's talking about through prayer, okay? So he's saying, ask God, and it shall be given unto you. Seek God, okay, and you will be able to find him. Knock, and he will allow you to enter into his presence. Are y'all still with me? So when we ask God, we found out that we need to ask him the right way. Because there's a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things. When we seek God, we need to seek God the right way. Because there's a right way to seek God and there is a wrong way to seek God. And when we knock and enter into God's presence, we need to enter into God's presence the right way. Because there is a right way to enter into God's presence. There is a wrong way to enter into God's presence. Y'all still with me? Amen. And we've talked about asking the right way and seeking the right way. And last week when we closed the service, we were talking about entering into God's presence the right way. In other words, we can't enter into God's presence any kind of way we want to. There is a right way to enter into his presence. There is a wrong way to enter into his presence. And the difference is the outcome of what we will receive by doing it the right way. Because there's a lot of people who ask God for things the wrong way. There are a lot of people who seek God the wrong way. And there are a lot of people who try to enter into God's presence the wrong way. And there is no way a person can enter into God's presence the wrong way, because if they try to enter the wrong way, they would not be able to get in. Y'all still with me? Y'all still with me this morning? Amen. So we must enter in the right way. Well, we found out last week that the right way to enter into God's presence is through prayer with reverence, okay? Through prayer with reverence. In other words, showing God honor and deep respect, okay? When we enter into God's presence, we must show him honor and deep respect. Notice I didn't even say respect. I said deep respect, amen. And we do that by humbling ourselves in the sight of the Lord. We do it by humbling ourselves in the sight of the Lord. We must enter his presence by reverencing him, by honoring him, okay? You know, by showing him respect, okay? Respect. And the only way we would be able to do that is if we humble ourselves first. Are y'all still with me? Okay, we humble ourselves first in the sight of the Lord. And the reason why we need to do that, the reason why we can't enter into God's presence any old kind of way, is because God is supreme. God is a sovereign God, okay? God is God all by himself. God is the creator of the heavens and the earth and also created us, okay? The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and those who dwell in it. So God is an all-powerful God, unlimited power. God is everywhere at the same time. How many of you can be everywhere at the same time? I'm not talking about your body's here and your mind on the other side of town. That don't qualify. That don't qualify. Y'all still with me this morning? But God can be everywhere at the same time, and he is God. He is God. He's not just a friend. A friend is still closer than any brother. He's God. You know, and, there's a song, I am a friend of God. And sometimes, and that's a great song. I love that song. It's a good song. But sometimes people, friend doesn't mean you treat God like you treat your friend. Now, you should treat your friend good, don't get me wrong. But God deserves to be treated better. Because if some of us treat God like we treat our friends, we're in trouble. Because some of them friends are the ones that we stab in the back. Notice this time, I didn't say they stab us in the back. Sometimes we stab them in the back. Y'all still with me? But God is God, and he is God alone. So we must enter into his presence the right way. And the first step into entering into God's presence the right way is that we must go through Jesus. You said the door. You get credit for that too because you was here last week. We must go through Jesus. We must go through Jesus. I get credit. I ain't going to subtract no points. They get you. You get Jesus. Y'all still with me? Because John 14, 6, Jesus said that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light, and no man, no woman, no one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus said that. So I can't enter into God's presence. It does not matter. I can't do it without going through Jesus. Are y'all still with me this morning? In John chapter 16, Jesus said, you know, he was talking to the disciples, you know, they were still sorrowful because, you know, he had already told them in John 14 to let not your heart be troubled, you know. And in John 16, he was telling them when the day comes, when he's gone from the world, he said, in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Okay, John 16. In that day, you should ask me nothing. Jesus, can you please hear? No, he said, don't ask him nothing. I'm helping somebody. Yeah, I'm asking Jesus. No, he said, don't ask him nothing. Because he has a representative here on earth. The Holy Spirit. But he says, in that day you should ask me nothing. It's in your Bible. I'm not making it up. John 16. You mean go there? He said, but whatever you ask the Father, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he shall give it to you. That's what he said. John 16. You can write it down. Do it or study for homework. Anything you ask the Father, he said, in that day you should ask me nothing. Anything you ask the Father. Hey, man, let me slow down. Hey, man, I'm getting excited already. I haven't even passed. Look, the light ain't turning green yet. I'm already trying to run. Amen. He said, anything you ask the Father in my name, he shall give it to you. Why? Because you asked in Jesus' name. And I mentioned to many of us who comes out to Wednesday Bible study, nothing against the rest of y'all, maybe you just can't make it sometimes. I mentioned to them that when we ask in Jesus' name, we're not just saying it in Jesus' name. No, it doesn't just mean that. It means that we recognize Jesus as an authoritative figure who gave his life so we could have life. So we're showing respect to what he did for us, because he paid the penalty for you and I, so we do not have to go to hell, but we can go if we want to. Don't cost us nothing. So it's a sign of respect in Jesus' name. Oh, y'all sing this song this morning, didn't you? God is fighting for us. In Jesus' name. Didn't y'all sing it this morning? Amen. See, this song even told you, ask in Jesus' name. Y'all still with me? So in Jesus' name, so when we put the two together, when we go and to enter into God's presence, we need to enter by going through Jesus, showing honor and deep respect to God, okay? Any other way, we are not entering into his presence the right way. Y'all still with me? The right way. And Jesus left us an example, okay? He left us an example of how to enter in the right way. And you just read it in Luke chapter 11, and we're going to look at this again, because I mentioned to you last week, Luke chapter 11 is what people call the Lord's Prayer. And that's okay. That's okay, you know. But Jesus is actually giving directions. He's giving directions to his disciples on how to enter into God's presence the right way, okay? Because they asked Jesus in Luke. I know some of y'all heard this last week, but you know, I got to lay the foundation again. I got to bring everybody up today, because you know sometimes people can't make it to church, so you know I don't want to leave them behind. So they asked Jesus in Luke chapter 11 verse 1. They said, Jesus, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. See, Jesus didn't teach them like John taught his disciples. Jesus taught them another way, a better way. Y'all still with me? Because during John's time, Jesus had not come yet. So he says, teach us to pray. So Jesus taught them to pray. He taught them to pray. And as I said already, many people call this the Lord's Prayer. And that's okay. That's okay. But he gave them guidelines. This is an outline, if you will, or guidelines of how to enter into God's presence the right way. He told them, look what he said. He said, when you pray, verse number two, when you pray, what's the first thing that you do when you pray? You got to say something. You got to say something. You're not saying, you're not praying. You're just thinking. Y'all still with me? I know they said, you know, let's pause for a moment of silence. Well, that's what that is, a moment of silence. You don't say anything. But when you're praying, you're saying something. Y'all still with me? Now, you don't have to say it so everybody can hear it. But you're speaking to God. He said, when you pray, say. Now, look at what he said. He said, pray. Number one, he said what? Our Father, which are in heaven. Now, he's not saying you have to say these exact words. Now, you can if you want to, but this is an outline. I mentioned last week, and I'm going to go right through it because I have a lot more to cover today. I can't stay here too long. But he says, when you pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. What is Jesus doing right now? What is he doing there? Well, let me go teach part one again. Amen. He is showing God reverence. He is showing God respect. He didn't go in and say, God, I need a new house. No, no, no. He's showing God respect. Look at what he said here. He's showing him, he's referencing God. He said, our Father, which are in heaven. Notice he didn't say our Father sitting there watching TV, the football game. He said, our Father, which are where? In heaven. He's recognizing God. He's reverencing God as being our heavenly Father. Y'all, you still with me? He said, our Father, which are in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's the word God. Your name is holy. Your name is sacred. So he's reverencing God. He's giving God the glory that God deserves because he is God. Okay? Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. God, this is not about me. It's about your kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done. Not my will, but your will. Y'all see what I'm saying? He's lifting God up higher than himself. Why? Because God is higher than he is. Y'all still with me? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. What you bind on earth should be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth should be loosed in heaven. Amen. Y'all still with me? And then he said here, he said, give us day by day our what? Daily bread. Okay. After he reverenced God, now he's asking God for something. And then he said, and do what? Forgive us our sins. How do we enter into God's presence? First of all, we need to say something. Second of all, we need to reverence God. Third, you know, we need to remember to ask God to forgive us of our sin. Because if we're holding sin, if we're holding stuff, then we're just praying to the air. Because if we don't forgive, the Bible says our Heavenly Father will not forgive us. And a lot of people are not receiving from God. Why? Because they are still holding unforgiveness in their heart. And they wonder why, God, your word said I can have this, and I don't have it yet. Well, get that unforgiveness out your heart. Y'all still with me? And then the Bible said, forgive us as we forgive others. Once again, we want God to forgive us, and we need to forgive others. Y'all still with me? Is anybody else hot? Besides the young lady back there, she's a little hot. Is anybody else hot? Anybody hot? I just want to make sure people are comfortable because, you know, Satan will do things to make people not want to listen to the word. Amen. Y'all still with me? He said, forgive us our sin, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And then he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then I told you, Matthew chapter 6, says, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. But he closed the prayer out, once again, reverencing God for who God is. Now, what he did not say here, he didn't say, in the name of Jesus, did he? And the reason why he did not say, in the name of Jesus, number one, is because he is Jesus. Number two is because he had not been resurrected yet. Okay? And that's why we pray in the name of Jesus, because he is already resurrected. He is seated on the right-hand side of the Father. So he gave us an outline. Number one, I have to say something. Number two, I have to reverence God. Number three, I have to ask God to forgive me. Number four, I have to forgive others.
Number five, I'll ask God to help me forgive others, because I mean, sometimes it's hard to forgive people. Y'all still with me? That's why we need God to help us. I mean, let's be real. Like we all, yeah, it's easy for me to forgive. No, it's not. That's why we need God for everything. We need help forgiving. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches. God got a lot of riches in forgiveness, because he forgave all of us. He sent Jesus, didn't he? See, people use that verse when they want something. The Bible says, my God shall supply my need. No, he's talking about all you need. Sometimes we need to act like we know God. Okay, I'm getting back to the scriptures. Y'all still with me? So we have to do things the right way, because if we don't do right way, we mess ourselves up. Y'all still with me? We can't go to God any old kind of way. Can't go there anyway. You know, and I mentioned earlier that the Bible tells us we have to go through Jesus. We saw last week, Jesus says, I am the door, okay? We have to go through the door. You know, that's how we enter in, okay? That's how we enter in. Jesus said, anyone, listen, he said, anyone in John chapter 10, he said, anyone, we saw it last week, anyone who tried to come in any other way is a thief and a robber. John 10. Anybody try to come in any other way other than going through Jesus is a thief and a robber. And I mentioned last week, John 10 says, the thief cometh not but for to do what? Steal. And to do what? Kill. And to do what? Destroy. Who is the thief? Satan. That's what everybody say. How many know there's more thieves than Satan? Y'all still with me? He's the chief thief. But he's not the only thief. And I received some revelation last week as I'm teaching this message. Let me share with you, and I shared with the people last week, the revelation that I received. Don't you know that there are a lot of thieves that come to the church, and they come to steal your joy. They come to kill your joy. And they come to destroy you by any means necessary. And these are the people who came to the church, but they never went through the door. In other words, they never went through Jesus. They heard of him, but they never accepted him as Lord and Savior. They come to church because grandma made me go to church when I was a little kid. And Jesus said, the Bible says in John 10, anyone that comes in other than through Jesus, the door, is a what? Thief and a robber. In other words, people try to come through the back door. They try to come through the window. If they did not come through Jesus, they can say they're Christians all day long. They can look like a Christian. They can walk like a Christian. They can talk like a Christian. They can sing like a Christian. They can say amen like a Christian. If they did not come through Jesus, they are not Christians. They will come to the church and cause trouble in the church. Because we talked yesterday in our leaders meeting, we talked about the fact that Satan have agents. And these agents come into the church to do exactly what the chief thief does. They come to steal, come to kill, and destroy mentally, physically, and spiritually. And that's why people, they say they don't go to church because they've been church hurt. Well, that's why people say that. They don't realize it was the thief. Because the church can't hurt nobody. But it's the people in the church, people who are not grounded and rooted in Jesus. They just one day started coming to church, and then they say, I'm a Christian. I'm free, thank the Lord, I'm free. No, if you didn't go through Jesus, they're still in bondage. Coming to church does not make a person a Christian. Are y'all still with me? I'm moving on. But y'all remember, Satan is a thief, but he's not the only one. Y'all still with Pastor Ron this morning? Amen, amen, and amen. So what causes people to not come through Jesus? I'm not talking about those who just come to church because grandma told them to years ago. I'm talking about in general. And other Christians, because a lot of Christians don't go to God, into God's presence the right way. So what causes people to not enter the right way through Jesus? What causes people to not give God the reverence, the respect that he deserves? What causes people to do that? What causes it? Well, listen to this. The only way that a person can enter the right way is, I've already said it, they must humble themselves. Don't you know when we come to God in prayer and we reverence him and give him the respect he deserves, don't you know that is a form of humbling ourselves? In other words, we recognize that we're not supreme. He is. We recognize that it's about his kingdom, not about ours. That's called humility. See? But some people try to go to God any kind of way, and they do not humble themselves, okay? And the reason why they do not humble themselves is because they are being controlled by a spirit called pride. They think they're equal to God. They can just go to him anyway because he's my friend. Pride. And pride will destroy a person every time. Every time. And a lot of people are being destroyed by their own selfish pride. Why? Because they try to be equal to God. No one's equal to God. They try to see themselves on the same level as God. No one has a level of God. The Bible says that God looks high and low. No, we know God sits high and looks low. They try to sit high and look low. And talk about people because they think they're more superior than the people they're talking about. That's not God's way. That's arrogance. That is the spirit of arrogance whose first cousin is pride. They're always trying to find something wrong with someone else. Without looking in the mirror and breaking it themselves. I'm just being real. Y'all still with me? And a person who operates in pride think they don't have to go to God the right way. They can go to him any kind of way. They can give him anything. You think I'm joking? Ask Cain. Cain, who is that? Abel's brother. God don't have to receive it. They see people growing in Christ and they try to pull them down. Oh, it ain't all like that. You don't have to do all that. Well, they're not doing anything. Because of their own service, pride. Christians, it's a spirit. And don't you know, but don't you know God can release you from us from the spirit? Because it doesn't matter what the spirit is, there is no spirit like the Holy Spirit. Y'all still with me? Pride. And pride causes a person not to humble themselves. Pride causes a person not to go to God the right way. Go to Proverbs 16. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 6 that God hates pride. But I want you to go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 6. Are you there yet? Pride causes a person to think they can enter God's presence any kind of way. That's because they have on a nice suit and a tie and a Bible in their hand, nice dress, you know, half fixed, nails done, toes clean. Amen. Amen. It's my personality. God didn't take my personality. See, some people get saved, they lose their personality. It's the same personality I had when I was before I got saved. I just use it in a better way, you know what I mean? But some people think, when the Bible says, any man in Christ, he's a new creature. So they try to change everything about themselves. Listen, you still you. You just been born again. You have blue eyes. When you got saved, you look in the mirror, your eyes probably still blue. If they turn red, you're in trouble. Okay, all right. Thank you, Pastor Ron. Get back to the word. Okay, amen. Look at verse 18. It says, what? Pride goeth before what? Destruction. And a haughty spirit before a what? Fall. In other words, you're operating if you're controlled by pride, and we control by pride, we're going to self-destruct. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Y'all still with me? And then the Bible says, listen to this. It says, better it is to be an humble spirit with, King James says lowly, but it says, another translation, better it is to be in a humble spirit with the lowly. Another word for lowly is oppression. A person here is who is oppressed. Better it is to be a humble spirit with the oppression than to divide the spoil with the proud. Another way to say that, you know, we know that word spoil means a plunder. Y'all still with me? And that word plunder means somebody who steal valuable goods. They plundered the goods. In other words, I'm going to read it the way I wrote it down. Better to be a humble spirit with the oppressed than to divide the stolen valuable goods with the person who is controlled by pride. Y'all still with me? And look at what else the scripture say here. It says, he that handles a matter wisely shall find what? Good. And whosoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. How many of you know that means that you know, because I told you I like to read what the Bible does not say. Because when I read what it does not say, it helped me to understand what it does say. So the Bible says, who he that trusts in the Lord, happy is he. That tells me that a person that don't trust in God, they're walking around not happy. And they sowing discord and strife. Why? Because misery loves company. Y'all still with me? And look at what let's keep going. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increased learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life, and to him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. If a person is walking around speaking things out of their mouth to turn people down, then that means the heart is not working. The right way. Because the Bible says the heart of the wise teaches his mouth. A person with wisdom, godly wisdom. In other words, people watch what they say before they can't watch, but they think about what they're going to say before they say it. Because some people just say anything, they don't even think about what they say, and they hurt people because the Bible says death and life is in the power of the tongue, and the Bible says people are snared by the words of their mouth. I know I'm getting some different things today. Somebody needs to hear this. Somebody, amen, 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 amen. I'm just teaching. Like I said, some things I write down, some things I don't. But I just teach what the Holy Spirit give me. Guess what? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say I'm a big-time Holy Spirit. The same Spirit of God that lives in me lives in you. But some people still have the Holy Spirit in prison. Why? Because of their own selfish pride. Look at the Bible says, verse 24, pleasant words are as honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Verse 25, that's where I'm getting to. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of what? Death. It seemed okay to operate in pride. But the end thereof is death or destruction. And many people cannot receive from God. They do not go to God the right way. Why? Because of their own selfish pride. They're being controlled by pride. And listen to this. In many cases, they do not know it. But in other many other cases, they know it. They just think it's all about them. Because they have allowed man to put them on a pedestal, to lift them up, to make them think they're all that. You all still with me? And when the trials and the tribulations come, the man who lifted them up is nowhere to be found. I know it is. But I've had people that do me that way. Nowhere to be found. Y'all still with me? Pride. If we want to be lifted up, we need to humble ourselves and let God lift us up. Because how many of you know if God lifts you up, there's nothing that can bring you down but our own selves. When God raised you, you raised. Y'all still with me? The Bible says the way God raises us is we have to humble ourselves. And I like the way the Bible says it in James. It didn't say, God's going to humble you. Now, he will humble you. But we have to humble ourselves. The Bible tells us in James chapter 4, verse 10, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. I like when God lift me up. Because man, lift me up, I may fall off the wall like Humpty Dumpty did. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Y'all still with me? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. I like the way the verse, it didn't say over the mighty hand of God. It said under. In other words, God's higher than we are. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, okay? And he may, so that he may exalt us in due season. In other words, when he get ready. Y'all still with me? But it starts with humbling ourselves. And once again, a lot of people do not go to God the right way. Why? Because they don't want to humble themselves. We don't want to go in reverence. We don't want to go through Jesus. And Jesus says, I'm the way. I'm the door. And when you come to the door, you must come in, come the right way. You can't be trying to break in. You can't go through the window. You can't go through the chimney talking about some ho, ho, ho. You have to come through the door. As a matter of fact, I want you to go to John chapter 10. I want to show you something else there. I'm moving on. Go to John chapter 10. I was looking at this yesterday, man. I was like, man. John chapter 10. I want you to go there. John 10. Are y'all there yet? I know I just told you to go, right? John chapter 10. Look at what Jesus said, okay? Jesus said. We looked at some of this last week, but we didn't look at all of this last week. Look what Jesus said, you know. Look what he said. Amen. Look what he said. Are y'all there yet? He's talking about in chapter 10, he's the door. Look what he said. He said in verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in the door, he shall be saved because he came in the door. He shall go in the door and out the door and find green pastures because he came through the door first. You know, he led me down in green pastures. And then he said in verse 10, the thief coming not before to do what? Steal, kill, and do what? Destroy. Okay? He said the thief. And we know Satan is the thief, but there are other thieves that come through Jesus to come in and try to disrupt Jesus' people. Those agents, you know? Those agents. They look like Christians. They talk like Christians. They quote scripture like Christians. And all the while they're trying to tear you apart. Look what he said here. He said, the thief came to steal, kill, destroy. I have come that you may have life. Look what we said in verse 11. I am the what? Good shepherd. Okay? So it tells me, once again, I like to read what the Bible does not say, because when I read what it does not say, it helps me to understand more what it does say. It helps me to put more emphasis on what he said. He said, I am the good shepherd. That tells me there are some bad shepherds. There's some bad ones, because he's a good one. If there were not bad ones, he wouldn't say I'm the good shepherd. He would just say I'm the shepherd. But he said, I'm the good shepherd. And then he said here, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the what? Sheep. Well, once again, he's very specific. He said the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That means the bad shepherds come to take your life away. Okay, I'm moving on. Pastor, you teach this like we elementary students. Well, guess what? I'm an elementary teacher. And I have to teach so I can understand. Because if I can understand, anybody can understand. And look what else he said here. He said, verse 12. He said, but he that is a what? Hireling. And not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, he see the wolf coming, and he leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scattered the sheep. Well, let me tell you first what a hireling is. I know you all know this because you all are smarter than I am. A hireling is a person who does things because they are motivated by money. And even in the churches of the world, people do things because of money, but they are not loyal to what they do. Okay? They're just doing it because they get paid. And it doesn't happen just in the church world, it's anywhere. They're not loyal. They don't care nothing about the organization. They can care less. Are they just doing it for the money? Y'all still with me? They don't care anything about loyalty, okay? About the job. It's all about the money. Y'all still with me? No loyalty. They'll tell you they got you, they're with you, they're on your side. But look at what the Bible says here. It says, as soon as the wolf comes, they scatter. You look behind you, where's so-and-so? Man, they went out the door before the wolf even came in. In other words, they don't have your best interest in heart. They're playing a role like they care. They play a role, the role as the shepherd, but they just monetary gain. And they run. And people do that all the time. Okay? Verse 13 says, the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and cares not for the sheep. People don't have your best interest in heart. That's why you got to put your faith in God. Because a lot of people operate in pride. They only care about themselves. And those are the people who don't go to God the right way. Now, there's a difference between the action of a pride person and the action of a person who doesn't operate in pride. A person who doesn't operate in pride always know that I can't do it, but God can. Not I, but Christ. I tried it. I could not make it, but I'm going to give it to Jesus because he can do it all. God can do it all. So we who humble ourselves, we know that all we need to do is just give it to Jesus. But a prideful person always talking about what they can do. I can do this. I can do that. I. It's all about them. And the Bible says, pride goeth before what? Destruction. And a haughty spirit before what? Fall. Now let me give you two examples in the Bible of pride and someone who is humble. Amen? Y'all still with me? I want you to go with me to Isaiah 14. I'm going to go through this very quickly because my time is moving on. Isaiah 14. And Isaiah 14 is talking about Lucifer. But not only Lucifer, if you study it out, it's also talking about some kings back in those days who thought they were equal to God. Because they're following their father, the devil. And they have the same mindset that he had. Y'all still with me? Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. When you get there, say amen. This is how pride operates. This is how pride operates. Isaiah chapter 14. And I want to look at verse number 12. Isaiah 14, 12. Hold on one second. I might have wrote Isaiah. I might have meant Ezekiel. Might have wrote down the wrong scripture. How you know Pastor Ron sometimes write the wrong scripture down too? Amen, amen, amen. It's not Ezekiel either. Isaiah, is Isaiah? Yeah, where is that? You with me? So I'm right there. I'm glad you studied your word. Amen, amen, amen. Isaiah 14. I was right the first time. Verse 12. There you go. I'm so glad you came to church this morning. Amen. Because some people know you wrong. They won't say that. That's the pastor. I ain't gonna say anything. No, you didn't let Pastor Ron know. I don't operate in pride. And I was going to tell you, but since you were the pastor, I figured, no, you didn't let me know. You're lying to the congregation, and you know the truth. Amen. So listen to this. Chapter 14. See, it's marked in my other Bible, Harley. See, sometimes I paint my Bible. This is not painted. Amen. Look at what it says. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Talking about Satan and those kings, okay? It's twofold. This Isaiah prophet is twofold. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? Satan, how did you fall? Then the Bible tells us how. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. What's wrong with him? I mean, he has talked to himself and thinking he's going to be like the Most High God. Well, we found out there's only one God. There's only one supreme, one sovereign, one creator of the heavens and earth. He is God. He's God alone. But he's going to do all this stuff. And look what the Bible says here. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the size of the pit. And they that see thee shall narrowly look upon you and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble? Listen, don't you know? Okay, amen, amen, amen. I'll tell you this next week, amen. Don't you know, like, some people are afraid of Satan? They're scared. Some people don't even go to sleep at night. They sleep with one eye open and one closed. Because they're living in fear. But don't you know, at the end time, when Jesus comes back, you're going to realize, you're going to say, is that the guy I was scared of? Is he the one that had me sleeping with one eye open, one eye closed? See, Satan, you have to understand, he's smart. He's intelligent. The Bible says he's the most subtle beast of the field. But he's not smart as he think he is. He's not. God is smarter. See? We put him on a pedestal. Well, I've been fighting the devil. Why are you fighting him? God never told you to fight the devil. He told you to fight the good fight of faith. He beat me up. Why are you letting him beat you up? When he's already defeated. Jesus defeated him over 2,000 years ago. See, we put him way up here. Listen, he's a spirit. He is a spirit that has no anointing. He has been beaten up. He is already lost. He just don't want you to know that. And that's why he attacks you in your mind to make you think that you are not worthy, make you think that you can't do this, make you think that somebody else can do it better than I can. Stop it. Look, God is no respect of persons. God made us equally. We are equally made. The difference between you and I, well, okay, Pastor, we're not equally made. Oh, okay. Well, let me ask you a question. How many eyes do you have? Oh, okay, 2 eyes, right? Anybody have 3 eyes in here? Glasses don't count. Okay. How many noses do you have? How many upper lips do you have? How many lower lips do you have? Okay, well, then we made the same. The difference between one person being blessed and the other one not is that one person is walking by what, living by what they see. The other person is living by faith. That's what the Bible said, we live by faith and not by sight. That's the difference. The Bible said God's no respecter of persons. He's not. Of all the things that Moses did, you know, when Moses hit the rock, you would thought God would say, well, Moses, you know, you did all these great things. You know, I told you to speak to the rock, and you allow those hard-headed people, it's children of Israel, to put you in a state where you got mad and you hit the rock. But that's okay, Moses. I know what you meant to do, but since you hit the rock, it's okay. I'm still going to let you lead Israel to the promised land. No. God said, Moses, no, you messed up. You can't do it. You know the guy, Moses, that you have been training, the one who has supported you, followed you, you know Moses, the guy named Joshua, he's going to lead the children to the promised land, not you. Don't you know God is preparing you all for another assignment? Do you think that your assignment is only just to do what you're doing right now in life? We just have to yield to him. Y'all still with me? Okay, I'm looking at the clock. I know how much time I got. I'm still going to show you an example of someone who did not operate in pride. Someone who realized that I'm in a situation. Now I need to humble myself. I need to go to God. I need to give him reverence. I need to honor him for who he is. Then I need to give him my request. Now, they couldn't go through Jesus yet. Why? Because Jesus had not come. Because it happened in the Old Testament, although Jesus was there in heaven with God, he had not come to the earth yet. He wasn't resurrected yet. So they couldn't say, "And God, we ask you in the name of Jesus," because Jesus had not been resurrected yet. But I want to show you somebody who followed the outline that Jesus gave them before the outline was even taught to the disciples. I want you to go with me, please, to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we're going to talk about a man by the name of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. Jehoshaphat, okay? Y'all still with me? Are you sure? Amen. Anybody sleeping on me? Amen. I know y'all probably say, y'all can't go to sleep. Pastor Rod, he talks so loud. Can y'all turn him down or something? No, they're not going to turn me down. Amen. That's part of the strategy to keep people awake. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. People go to the club, but I used to go to the club and party half the night. And then go to church and they want to be asleep. See, a lot of times when I say things, it's because I used to do those things. That's why, you know, I mean, how you know people do that? Because I used to do it. Be tired, man. I be grabbing church over me. I got to go take me a nap. Well, you should have took a nap when you was hanging at the club 2 o'clock in the morning. Okay, Y'all do what y'all want to do. I got to get back to the scriptures. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. So we found a situation here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 where Jerusalem was about to be attacked from the Moabites, the Ammonites, and other armies that didn't like them. And someone told Jehoshaphat the king, we get ready to be attacked. The Bible tells us that in the verse number 2. And they're coming from all directions. They're coming from the north. They're coming from the east. They're coming from the west. Look at what Jehoshaphat did. And the Bible says in verse 4, And Jehoshaphat, verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself. That means the word set himself means he humbled himself. He set himself to do what? To do what? Ask, seek, and enter, right? Jesus said, in Matthew, if you ask, it shall be given unto you. If you seek, you shall find. If you knock, and the door shall be opened. And I'm going to add so you can enter in, right? So what did Jehoshaphat do? He has a situation. So he first humbled himself, and then he seeks the Lord. Okay, he's following what Jesus said. Y'all still with me? The Bible says he seeked the Lord and he proclaimed a fast throughout Judah. He claimed a fast throughout Judah. In other words, he seeked the Lord. As he humbled himself and seeked the Lord, he is entering into God's presence the right way. Okay? And then the Bible says, and Judah gathered themselves together to do what? Ask. Verse 4. So now we see the word seek. We see the word ask, okay? After he humbled himself, Judah gathered themselves together to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout Judah, and they gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And then Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in verse 5 in Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, he did what? He said, notice he wasn't thinking about it. He said, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, the Bible says he went there where Mary and Martha was, and he looked up to heaven and said. You're not saying, you're not praying. Okay, let me get back to here. Okay, my time is moving out. He said, the Bible said, he said, O Lord, God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Now, he wasn't asking these questions because he didn't know. He was just doing what? Who said it again? What? What else? Okay, stay right where you are. Okay, let me keep reading. Amen. I'm trying to help us this morning. O Lord, our Father, art not thou God in heaven, and you ruling not over all the king, and ruling not over all the kingdoms of the heathen. And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee. What is he doing? Thank you. He's referencing the Lord. He didn't go to the Father God in Jesus' name. The Ammonites coming from the left side in the evening. No, he's taking time to reverence God for who God is. Y'all still with me? So then the Bible says here, it said, he said, art not thou a God who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and you gave it to the seed of Abraham, their friend forever. And thou dwelt there. In other words, he's reverencing God. He's letting God know, God, I know who you are. You are the Most High. Notice at this point, he's not having to ask God for anything yet. Are y'all still with me? And then after he did all that, then he said here, the Bible says, And they dwelt, verse 8, they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, you're talking about Israel. And then in verse 9 says, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword judges, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy what? Presence. In other words, he's entering into his presence. In your presence, for thy name is in this house. And cry unto you in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And then, after he said that, he told God what his problem is. He told God what the situation was. Now, God knows everything, but he still wants us to come to him and ask. In other words, he knows what you need, but the Bible says he wants us to ask him. Why? Because some people, if they are not asking, they never have any time for God. I ain't going to communicate with him. I ain't got enough. But when they want something, what do? They're with a God. God got a system in place where we have to go to him. Y'all still with me? And then he said, in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and we cry to thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of the Amorites and the Moabites and Seir, whom thou would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. So listen, there was a situation where these same people were messing with the children of Israel when they were moving from where they were going to the promised land, and God did not allow Israel to invade these people. Well, why didn't God allow Israel to invade the people? The reason why God didn't allow Israel to invade the people, because although the people were messing with Israel, the battle was not Israel's, it was the Lord's. And God says, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. See, those people that's talking behind your back, don't worry about them. Those people that's talking, putting your stuff on Facebook, don't worry about them. Them people that put your stuff on Instagram and all those other grams out there, 100 grams, don't worry about those people. You just keep your mind focused on God, because whatever's going on in your life, whatever has you depressed, oppressed, weary, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. Jehoshaphat knew that. That's why he didn't try to assemble his army together. Let's go take care of them. We can handle them ourselves. Oh, no, you can't. Why? Because it's spiritual warfare. So he went to the highest spirit there is. He went to God, and he cast all his cares on the Lord. Y'all still with me? Amen, 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 amen. And listen to what happened. So they went on doing what they were doing, fasting, praising the Lord, doing what they did before they found out about the battle. Y'all still with me? Because sometimes people have a great time. They're serving God. They're doing great things. And all of a sudden, all hell breaks through in their life. And they don't even want to get out of the bed the next morning. Don't you know it's the same God that was on the throne before all hell broke loose. The same God that's on the throne when all hell breaks loose. He's still God. And there's nothing too hard for him. Now, I want you to look at this. We're going to go over it. I'm almost done. I got 12 seconds, but y'all know I got at least 3 more minutes, because y'all took 3 of my minutes turning to the pages. Y'all still with me? Amen. Look at verse 14. Once he turned it over to God, he didn't worry about it no more. Look at what verse 14 says. Then upon Jehaziah. Who? Jehaziah. Notice it wasn't the prophet. Notice it was not a person with a title. Notice it wasn't someone who said he'd been saved for 30 years. He went to a person named Jehaziel. In other words, God can use anybody who wants to be used. He went to Jehaziel. And the Bible says, and the Bible tells us who his father is and all that stuff. Then upon Jehaziel came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. I mean, the Spirit of God could have gone to anybody. But he chose Jehaziah. I believe Jehaziah was a humble person. Because I believe if he operated in arrogance, if he operated in pride, the Holy Spirit wouldn't have talked to him. Because he would have made everybody think that he did something instead of the Holy Spirit. So he went to Jehaziah, and he said in verse 15, "Listen, you, all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thy king Jehoshaphat. Thou sayest the Lord unto you." That means the Lord heard his prayer. So Jehoshaphat must have went to God the right way. He must have entered his presence the right way, because now God has given the Holy Spirit through Jehaziah a message to give through to Jehoshaphat and Judah. He said, "Listen, thus said the Lord unto you, be not afraid or dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but the Lord." And God took care of the battle. Jehoshaphat didn't even have to fight the battle. Because when he got to the location where the enemy was, the Bible says they were already dead. You tell me God is not a powerful God. You tell me God can't change your situation. Doesn't matter how dark it is, light comes. And when light comes, darkness have to go. Why? Because darkness and light can't stay in the same place. Y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. So once again, we have to enter his presence the right way. Go ahead and stand to your feet. I'm going to read one more scripture. You don't have to do anything. All you need to do is just stand to your feet. The right way. I'm going to read another scripture to you, and I'm going to be done. The right way. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, I'm going to read it to you. Many of you all are familiar with this scripture. Some of y'all, it's your favorite scripture. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Look at what the Bible says. What the Bible says, Syria? The Bible says, if my people, good God Almighty. See, a lot of people think that this is only talking about Israel, but I'm going to show you that it's talking about you also. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall do what? One of the ways of humbling ourselves is to honor God for who he is. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, not mine. Thy kingdom done, not mine. Your will be done, not mine. As it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive me of my sins as I forgive other people for their sins. Y'all still with me? And lead us not into temptation. That's the kind of God we serve. Reverence. Lifting him up for who he is. Y'all still with me? Humbling ourselves. God is not about me, but it's about you. Y'all, so if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Humble who? Notice it didn't say God's going to humble you. I have to make a decision. I have to swallow. No, listen. People say, swallow your pride. Don't swallow it. Get that pride out your mouth. If you swallow it, it might come back up. Humble themselves. And do what? I mean, I need to go to God the right way. I want no funeral music, man. I want something. Amen. Humble yourself and pray. See, I can't pray without humbling myself. See, there's an order there. He didn't say pray and humble yourself. I have to humble myself and pray. And do what? Seek my faith. How do I see God's praise? My face? I got to go through the door through prayer by reverencing him. And then do what? Turn from what? My wicked ways. In other words, I can't live the same. I can't go to God dirty and leave dirty. I have to go and ask God to forgive me of my sins. Y'all still with me? This is what Jesus said in Luke. The Lord's Prayer. That's what he said. And turn from my wicked ways. The Bible says, then. It says, then will I do what? Hear. Good God, I just love it so much. Then, I think I might stay after church and teach this again to myself. Listen, then will I hear from heaven. In other words, if I don't do these things, if I don't enter God's presence the right way, he don't have to listen to what I say. He says, then will I hear from heaven. And then when I hear from heaven, I will forgive thy sin and I will heal thy what? Land, your situation. He's just not talking about the grass you walk on. Your situation. He will change your situation. And look at what else the Bible said here. He said in verse 15, now mine eyes shall be open. And this is where I'm showing you that he's talking to you as well. He's not just talking to Israel. And guess what? He's talking to me too. Listen. He said, now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now listen to this. Yeah, a little lower there. Amen. I want them to hear this. It says, for now have I chosen the sanctify what? This house. Boy. I might take a left around the church after this. Listen to this. He said, but now have I chosen and sacrificed this house. What house is he talking about? Now, wait a minute. Now, right now, he's talking about, wait a minute. Now, wait, right now, he's talking about the temple. Okay, hold on. This is so good. He said, now have I chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there for how long? I know y'all don't see it yet, man. I'm just about to, just hold on. This is so good. Hold on. That now I might sanctify it for how long? That what? My name may be where? There in that what? House. For how long? Forever. I'm going over on this side. Y'all stay with me. Amen. Now, forever. And mine eyes and my heart shall be there what? Perpetually. So, in God's house, the Bible says that he has sanctified it. And because he has sanctified it, his name is going to be there forever. And so, when we follow these guidelines in 2 Chronicles, because the house is sanctified and he's going to be there forever, all we have to do is just humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. Then he will hear from heaven, and then he will forgive our sins and heal our land. But Pastor, what are you trying to say? Well, this is what I'm trying to say here. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Because the Bible says that you are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body and in your spirit, because it belongs to who? Him. So you, your house belongs to God, and it will belong to God forever. Why? Because your house is sanctified. Because if your body was not sanctified, the Holy Spirit would not dwell on the inside of you. Y'all still with me? Amen. That's why the Bible tells us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, because that's exactly what it is. Okay? God has made us alive by Jesus Christ, and he has sent the Holy Spirit to dwell on the inside of us. And everything that God said about the house in Jerusalem is meant for you and me today, because we are, our house is the body of God, because it belongs to him. So you don't have to deal with none of that mess out there. You don't have to deal with Satan's mess. All we need to do is that when we're facing trials and tribulations in life, we need to enter into God's presence the right way. We need to ask God, and it shall be given to us. We need to seek God the right way, and we'll always find him. And we need to knock through prayer, going through Jesus, enter into his presence the right way, and it does not matter, our situation will change. Listen, not in our timing, but in God's timing. Why? Because he is God, and he is God all by himself. Somebody give God a hand praise, because he's worthy.